What is going on? Welcome to another In the Pen podcast, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network. I am Kyle Nelsinger, joined as always, warming up in the bullpen, by Rick Graham. Rick, how are you doing today?
Not too bad, you know, just we're getting closer and closer to opening day, you know, every day from here on out, so getting excited.
It really is crazy. Last week we talked about how we didn't believe we'd get there. Thank you guys for making the first episode of In the Pen very much a success. We look forward to hearing your feedback as we continue to grow and become a favorite part of this network. But same thing like last week, we're going to be diving into the National League bullpens, try and give you a look because there's a lot that's happening. A lot of news has started to come out with these pens, and we kind of previewed it towards the end of the episode last week. But the National League as a whole does not have as many locked and loaded situations, a lot of set closers, a lot of committees. Some closers are starting to help us. Some managers are starting to help us out for fantasy purposes, but there's still a lot of confusion as to who's going to take these jobs. So hopefully we're able to give you a little bit of our insight, let Rick take his expertise and point you guys in the right direction.
Sounds great. Looking forward to getting into this.
So we'll get right into it. Usually we'll start off with some news, and I guess before we do that, there is one bit of news for the American League. We'll save all the news for the National League when we get to those teams. But with the American League, there's only, like I said, one bit of news that's worth mentioning. Peter Fairbanks left his most recent outing of spring training with, as he called it, soreness. Something didn't feel right. We found out that it was a strained lat, where he's going to be shut down for at least 6 weeks and will be missing a good portion of the start to the season. We talked about last week how Tampa Bay's closing situation is very much in the up in the air. How does this affect the Tampa Bay bullpen at fall? Is there anybody who jumps up in terms of saves holds, or is it just kind of the same names we talked about last week?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a huge loss for that bullpen. I mean, they already lost Nick Anderson again. He's out for half the season. So losing Fairbanks, yeah, I guess it bumps up, you know, Whistler and Fire Eyes in a little bit. They're looking for outside help as well. But I think, you know, it probably makes, you know, Andrew Kittredge a little bit of a stronger, you know, target for saves leagues without that competition from Fairbanks.
Yeah, I would agree. And another name to keep an eye on is Brooks Raley. He was their big free agent signing who probably is going to be in some more crucial situations. We talked about he's one of the few lefties in that pen, so they'll bring him in to face the tough lefties, and if you're in a saves hold league, he's going to go right in there. But I would agree. Whistler, Fair Eyes, and Chargwo, they're all good names in saves holds. This doesn't really change it too much because they're going to use almost every pitcher in that bullpen to get a hold here and there. But I would tend to agree that Kittredge becomes more safer for saves. It still is Tampa, and I still stand by what I said last week, but it can't hurt if you're looking for saves now having one less name in that pen. But we'll move over to the National League and get rolling there and start off kind of like we did last week with a pretty bad team overall. At least this one has a clearer bullpen picture, and that is the Arizona Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks have spent an entire offseason really focusing on this bullpen. They brought in multiple names, and one of them was a pretty locked in name. It seems like their closed situation is pretty clear with Mark Melancon. But Rick, take us through the bullpen. Is there anyone who you think will provide a bit of competition, or is Melancon kind of one of the last safe closers, though, on a very bad team?
Yeah, at first glance, it looks like it's Mark Melancon, and that's his job, like, to lose. They brought in Ian Kennedy, who he had 26 saves last year when he was, you know, between Texas and Philadelphia. So it's not crazy to think that he could push Melancon, but you know, as long as Melancon, and there's going to be some regression from what he did last year, but I don't see him. He's like you said, he's one of the safer options, you know, to target in the middle late part of your drafts.
I know a lot of people were taking the late shot on Ian Kennedy, who was a free agent, hoping he signed somewhere but needed a closer. Now he goes to Arizona where he's going to be a setup man. So he's the most likely setup man for eighth inning. Is there anybody else in this pen that interests you from a holds perspective, or just because it's Arizona? Not really.
Yeah, no, I mean, like Noe Ramirez and JB Wendelken have flashed a little bit in the past that kind of intrigued me. If Caleb Smith winds up, you know, full time in the bullpen, I wonder if there could be something there. There's not, outside of that, there's not a lot outside of the, you know, they got some, you know, JB Bukauskas was, you know, highly kind of touted going into last year as a potential bullpen weapon. Maybe he, or, you know, Kevin Ginkle can come back and, you know, figure some things out. But yeah, there's not really a lot to target here at this point.
I remember Caleb Smith being a guy who I was very intrigued in when he was a starter in Miami. I was always taking the late round shots with that strikeout upside. Now he's in the pen, so I like the idea that if he can turn things around, he could be a good late inning guy. And with that bullpen, though, they have added names. They're not, outside of Kennedy and Melanson, they're not big names. It was Oliver Perez on a non-roster and a few guys like that. So maybe he can emerge, and he was part of the Starling Marte trade when he was originally traded to Miami. So maybe there's still something left in the tank there, but you never know.
Yeah, I can see that.
So you take this bad bullpen that you don't really want to talk about and go to a bullpen that many teams do want to talk about, and that is the Atlanta Braves. The Braves, that was their strength the entire postseason last year. That's the reason they won the World Series, was they rode their bullpen and it was absolutely dominant. And we thought the closed situation was pretty set with Will Smith. Well, the closed situation still is pretty set, but it's not with Will Smith. They shocked the baseball world by signing Kenley Jansen to a one-year, $16 million deal. And both Alex Anthopoulos and Brian Snicker had said, hey, he's going to be our ninth inning guy. So this is pretty clear. Kenley Jansen, where does he end up in your ranks? Is he locked in, or you still think that there's a chance Will Smith can sneak in and take some saves away from him?
They sign him for a reason, and that's, you know, he's going to be the majority, you know, guy in the ninth inning for them. So I don't really think Smith lingering is much of a concern, but I think that there's still kind of, I wouldn't necessarily go dropping Will Smith just yet. Jansen's getting a little bit of a late start to spring out. You know, we've seen that before with like guys like Craig Kimbrell and, you know, people who sign later. I just would hesitate before dropping Will Smith in a lot of leagues right now, because even still, he's probably in the number one or two top setup man in baseball right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you still should be able to get some sort of value from him, whether it be strikeouts, maybe some wins, maybe a couple saves. So, yeah, but Jansen still, he's a top 10 closer option, but, you know, with the depth in this bullpen and, you know, Kirby Yates coming back at some point this year, there's just a lot of ways this bullpen can kind of go.
This bullpen's great, and I would agree, if you're in a saves hold, Will Smith skyrockets up the board, and he's, I wouldn't say draft him where he was originally drafted, but he's your top setup man option, maybe second for setup men with Kimbrel if he's still in Chicago. But you want Will Smith in saves holds. He's going to be pitched in the crucial situations, because they do have other lefties with AJ Minter, Tyler Matzik that they can use in the other crucial situations. So he's going to get plenty of holds. Jansen's a lockdown closer. He's right in that same, maybe below the tier of Class A and Iglesias we talked about last week, but very close to pushing into it. He's more maybe in that Diaz and Chapman tier, but he's someone you target because it's a very good Atlanta team. He's going to get the saves, and he's the clear guy. So we wanted him to be a clear guy, and now he gets a clear guy in one of the best teams in baseball. Worked out pretty well for Kenley Jansen, not so much for Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So transitioning over to the next bullpen on the list, and it is the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs, I don't know what to make of this bullpen, because it's another one who's added a lot of names, and they don't have a set closer. They also lost Cody Hewer for the season to Tommy John. Rick, I'm just gonna toss it over to you, because I don't know how to make sense of this. It's another bullpen that they don't have the set guy, and none of the names are all that exciting to me. If you had to handicap this, who's your favorite for saves? Do you target it, taking shots? What do you do with this bullpen?
Yeah, it's a bummer that, you know, Cody Hewer is going to miss the year, because I thought he had a pretty good chance to, you know, work his way into the closer role at some point early on in the year. But now it's a couple of veterans that they've signed. I mean, Rowan Wick's probably going to start the year. He's the incumbent, so he probably starts the year. But yeah, they brought in, you know, Michael Givens, Chris Martin, David Robertson, Jesse Chavez. I mean, it's just like a bunch of, you know, veterans on short-term deals that they're just kind of going to throw at the situation and hope one of them sticks.
If you had to handicap it, I know you probably are steering clear of it. Who's your top guy? If you had to draft a Cubs reliever, who are you taking the shot on?
I think Wick's still the favorite to lead this team in saves, but I think Michael Givens still has more, he's better than the numbers have shown. You know, I think there's still something in there that maybe he could have a big, you know, breakout type year. So he would be my second favorite there. I think he could work his way easily, because I don't have a ton of faith in Rowan Wick holding on to the job.
I don't have the same faith for Rowan Wick. I took a chance in my turf league draft, which is a bunch of those industry drafts with people around in certain areas. This was the Turnpike area. I took a 30th round shot on Michael Givens just to see if he speculative saves and see if I have something. Rowan Wick, yeah, his K percentage is impressive. He had 29% last year, but his walks are, he's a bit wild. He had a 14% walk rate last year, 11.4 in 2019. You know, does he have that? Can he get that his control kind of settled in? He did only throw 23 innings last year. Is that something you'd want from someone you're going to lock in as your closer? I still think it's a chance for Givens, and you saw what he did in his time last year, bouncing around between multiple teams, and he was the ninth inning guy, so it wouldn't shock me if Ross goes that way. Robertson, another guy you take a shot, but it's the same thing. You take a late round flyer on one, hope you hit, but be ready to pivot quickly, because they're going to be jumping back and forth throughout it. And you can probably say the same thing about the next team on this list, and that is the Cincinnati Reds. Same situation. I'm not even going to try and go through the possible names. I'm just going to toss it over to you. Same thing I asked for the Cubs. If you had to pick one, who is the one, and then just go through the possible options if you really want to.
I think I'm still... I know Lucas Sims is going to miss the start of the year, but I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing, and I know it's he's kind of burned us with injuries in the past, but he's the most talented option that they have in that bullpen, and at least he has some sort of closer experience, even though it's very minimal. But I think as long as he's healthy, that job's his. And with him out, it's, you know, the only other person I can recommend here is Art Warren, who's, you know, another guy who, as long as if he could just stay healthy, I think we'd be talking about Art Warren as one of the, you know, better high leverage relievers in the game. But it's, you know, it's always been kind of some health concerns with him. So between Warren and Sims, whoever can stay healthy the longest, I think that's, you know, the best, that's who's going to be the person to roster here.
Yeah, I would agree. I like taking the shot on Warren, but what's different for this one with the Cubs is at least the Cubs may be a decent team, you know, maybe hover around 500. So there will be save opportunities. Even if you hit on the right Cincinnati Red reliever, are there really going to be a lot of save opportunities you can get out of that? So I'm most likely steering clear. It's the same thing. Maybe you take a late round shot on an Art Warren because there is that strikeout upside what he saw last year. But again, be ready to pivot quick and don't even... I'd probably steer clear because this Reds team is going to be a disaster, but I would agree with you that I would take the shot on Warren, but it could be Lucas Sims. I just wonder how long this injury really is, because David Bell and the Reds have been pretty unclear about it. It's just kind of been quiet, like, oh, just a little soreness. And it's like, oh, now he's not starting the year. So it may be more severe than they're letting on. So yeah, take a shot if you want, but no, it's Cincinnati.
Yeah, this is like the perfect team to, because I think both Warren and Sims give you some strikeout upside. So if you have an IL spot and Sims, you know, falls to the end of the draft, yeah, take a chance, stash him, and then see what happens.
I can't blame you if you try and do that. So moving on to the Colorado Rockies. They're the next up on this list, and they would have fallen into the same situation where we don't know who their closer is, but they decided to make it easy on us. They signed Alex Colome to a one-year deal, and you know he's going to be a closer. He's been the closer mostly where he's gone the past 5 years or so. But this is Colorado, and we know how bad pitching is in Colorado. So do you... It's a similar situation you do for the Diamondbacks. You have a guy who's locked in for a bad team, but this is just a disaster for pitching. So do you even... Are you even interested in Colome at all?
Colome is such a tough... I mean, I bounce back and forth with... Is he really good? Or, like, I have a hard time getting a read on Colome. Because, like, looking at, you know, X stats and all sorts of, you know, numbers, it's like, well, he shouldn't be succeeding. But then, you know, he goes out there and he's, you know, been pretty successful outside of some, you know, minor, like some stints here and there for the last 5 years. So I can't totally rule him out of succeeding in Colorado, but this feels like just like the worst fit for him, the player, mm-hmm. and for the team. It just like doesn't feel like a good fit for the team or player. You know, but it's not like Carlos Estevez or Daniel Bard lit it up last year. So it's Colome, and I think they're going to ride with him all year, but I'd put him in a tier below Melanson. I think Melanson's still a little safer. There's definitely more volatility with Colome.
I would agree with that. You mentioned the two names that are, I guess, intriguing-ish with Estevez and Bard, but Bard was just a disaster last year, so how many high leverage situations will they actually try and put him in? Mm-hmm. Estevez was the guy who's getting the more, if you want to say, helium for the Rockies. He was getting the late round save chance in Colorado, but so he'll be the next man up, but I don't really want to touch it just because of its Coors Field and it's Colorado. Yeah, the Rockies could be more decent this year by signing Chris Bryant, but it's not a situation I want. Like you said, Colome has been very volatile, and you put him in a park that's a hitter's park.
Yeah.
No, thank you. I don't care if he's guaranteed to try and get a save opportunity every single game. He may only save a certain percent of that. It's a risk I'm just very not willing to take with this bullpen.
The one name that if they somehow manage to work their way into a, you know, high leverage closer situation, I think Robert Stevenson, you know, has the swing and miss ability to have some sort of success. Because I think in Coors, you have to be able to miss bats at a high level, and, you know, either that or, you know, get ground balls at a high level. So I think Stevenson's, you know, strikeout ability could make him pretty good for, you know, a Colorado closer.
Keep Robert Stevenson on your watch list. You never know if he gets the job. It sounds like Rick would be kind of intrigued by him, which makes me a little intrigued. So we're going to be keeping an eye on Stevenson. He does seem to have that strikeout upside. He was kind of sought after in the trade they made in getting him in that Jeff Hoffman deal. Is kind of an under-radar move, but they like him. So if he has that, he has more strikeout ability than Colome. It's still Colorado, but maybe he becomes a little bit more interesting because of that. We've now reached a bullpen that I think everybody wants to talk about, and it's the Los Angeles Dodgers, because we all thought it was going to be Blake Treinen. Blake Treinen seems set. They didn't sign Kenley Jansen, so all the helium was going to Treinen. But then Dave Roberts and Blake Treinen had some comments on Tuesday as we're recording this that don't make it so set that it seems that Treinen is the guy. So Rick, help me out here. What's going on with this Dodger bullpen? Is Treinen as safe as we originally thought he was going to be? What are you doing in terms of drafting a Dodger reliever?
You know, I can't. I know what Dave Roberts has said, and I'm having a hard time just believing it because it just seems so easy that like Jansen leaves, Schreinen just steps right into the closer role. They brought in, you know, they brought in Daniel Hudson, but I feel like Hudson's more of a setup, you know, he's better in a setup role than a closer role. So to me, it makes sense for Hudson to kind of step into Trinan's shoes, and then Trinan just steps in where Kenny Jansen was last year as the closer. This team's always had Jansen. They've always had set roles pretty much. But if
I don't know,
if Dave Roberts is, you know, this late in spring, he's pretty committed to the committee, then I am starting to worry a little bit about Trinan and what his actual value is.
The only thing that makes me, I mean, all the ghost comments by Roberts are concerning in of itself, but then Schreinen comes out and says himself that he's might even be more interested in pitching those high leverage innings instead of the save situations. He said that he wants coming in the biggest situation, and sometimes getting a save isn't the biggest situation. And yeah, that sounds good, and it's what a player says, but
mm-hmm.
He is a rest reliever. Yes, they've had a set closer, but they've also been willing to pivot. We've seen it in the postseason the past couple of years when Jansen struggled. Roberts doesn't hesitate to sit him down and go to another reliever and for those save opportunities. They've got a guy in Bruzar Gratterall who has that closer stuff, and I could see him eating into some saves. So I'm not saying Blake Trinan is off my draft board, but all of these comments get me very, very scared to the point where I'm almost avoiding him at this point in the draft and draft season. I don't want to take the chance on that. If you get the closer for the Dodgers, who are more than likely going to have the best record in all of Major League Baseball, you're set. You're going to be sitting very pretty and very happy in terms of saves. But this is just making it very worrisome. But I don't know if that's the case and as it would be in a normal season because there's so many cooks in the kitchen.
For sure. Yeah, like, would you rather take Blake Trinan in the middle of your draft or Bruzar Gratterall at the last pick of your draft? You know, I think I'd rather just throw a dart and, you know, see if Gratterall can get me 10 to 12 saves, like some strikeouts and, you know, good ratios. I don't know. It's really tough to any where Trinan's going right now. It's really tough to justify drafting him, but I hate it because like it was looking like he was such a good, you know, pick this year and a good value, and Roberts just has to dump water all over that.
I'm sorry for all everyone who's taken Trinan in their early drafts. You thought you had such a value all off season. There was, oh, they're gonna get Kenley Jansen back, so Trinan's not really gonna matter, and he doesn't sign back, and you just think, great, I've got this value finally. And now Dave Roberts and Dodgers have to go and pour cold water on it and make us all sad. So it's a situation we have to monitor very closely throughout the season. As the news comes in, as we start seeing the trends, we'll be one of the first to report on it and give our analysis. But monitor it closely. If you're going to take the chance on Trinan, then have a good spec option late, even if it is taking Gratterall with one of your last picks, or a spec option on one of the teams we're going to mention or later, or even the ones we talked about earlier. But have another option. Don't make Trinan your number one source of saves if you want to take him.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Sticking in the same boat is in the committee sort of situation with closing. It's the Miami Marlins, and these names aren't as interesting as Blake Trinan, but I don't think it's a set situation there. Between a couple guys, Dylan Floro seems to be the favorite, but there's been one guy who's been hyped up with a lot of helium this draft season with Anthony Bender. So, Rick, where's you come out with the Marlins? Is there anybody? Do you buy the Bender helium, or what's your thoughts on this bullpen?
My ears perked up a little bit when, you know, for Bender, as far as, you know, Floro's dealing with some arm soreness and he's behind schedule. So, like, okay. Maybe Anthony Bender is the next, you know, he's going to actually get a chance to close out games here, because that's, you know, that's who I would prefer from a fantasy standpoint, because you're going to get, you know, the strikeouts from him that you're not going to get from Floro. But then realizing that Don Mattingly is running this team, I mean, there's no guarantee that Bender would be the closer if Floro misses time. You know, it's Mattingly can't quit Anthony Bass, so I feel like that's just Bass is just there and he's just gonna take over with Bender, you know, being relegated to seventh, eighth inning role like he was last year.
We need to get fantasy analysts in charge of running these teams so we can get the pitchers right. We're actually interested in to get these guys that get strikeouts and not guys like Dylan Floro and Anthony Bass getting saves. It's just not as interesting. I would echo everything you said. Bender of a strikeout upside is there. He's clearly got the most talent in that bullpen. Take the chance on him because, you know, like you said, the Floro injury makes it more likely that Bender will start off as a closer. And if he gets a few saves early, maybe Mattingly just decides, you know what, yeah, we'll stick with this. But it's the same thing of a committee that is tough and the Marlins, how good are they actually going to be? But I definitely want to get a share of Anthony Bender, and unfortunately I'm running out of chances to get that, although yeah. I may have gotten him in TGFBI now I'm thinking about it. So
there you go. Yeah, I mean that's kind of my thought too, is like maybe he gets the first, maybe Floro misses a week, Bender fills in, he gets, you know, two or three saves and that only sticks with him, and that's best case. But yeah, I was able to get him in like the second to last round of our pitcher league draft, so yeah, it's worth a shot at the end of drafts to see what happens.
I can't blame you there. At least now with this team, we have a very set closer, and we don't have to spend too much time with it. It's Milwaukee Brewers, and they have arguably the number one reliever in all fantasy in Josh Hader. So we don't need to tell you how good Josh Hader is. We're not going to tell you to not draft Josh Hader. He's great. The only question that you have is are you willing to take the second or third round draft price that Josh Hader seems to have in most drafts?
See, that, I mean, that's a tough, I feel like I'm not the type of person who's going to go after the Hader and Hendricks, you know, third round closer type. I usually wait for the next group, the next tier. But I don't blame anyone for, you know, Hader somehow improved last year. It is like he keeps getting better and just in a very good situation, good team, good start. There's you can't really go wrong with him. I think another question is Devin Williams still a standard league option? Is that someone you take late in drafts, or is the days of the premier non-closer reliever kind of fading in mixed leagues?
It's so tough because I feel like so many people are now using that spot instead on a speculative guy like the Anthony Benders or the Art Warrens, where you want to take that shot. I personally just would rather do that and hope to get the saves, but you know, if you need ratios, there's not many people better than Devin Williams. He's, you know, his role, you know how good he is. So I don't know if it's dying, it's just something that I tend not to do. But in a standard league, you know, you can argue that getting a Devin Williams may be more valuable long term than getting Alex Colome, who neither of us are high on, just sure. for the ratios alone. So it's a good point. And that takes us in that point where Devin Williams, you know, is the next guy up. You know, if something happens to Hader, God forbid, Williams will step right in. Is there anybody else in this bullpen that's piqued your interest that you are interested from a holds perspectives?
Yeah, first of all, Brad Boxberger had a really good year last year, kind of under the radar, and he's back, and he should be a solid, you know, middle tier holds option. But I think if you're outside of Hader and Williams, I would be targeting, you know, Jake Cousins kind of broke out last year, kind of came from out of nowhere, big time strikeout upside. And if Aaron Ashby winds up in the bullpen, I mean, this bullpen could be really, really good. I would like to see Ashby in the starting rotation, but not sure if that's going to happen right away.
Yeah, I would love to see Ashby in the rotation as well. It's another guy who I've been wanting to get shares of and unfortunately aren't, and it makes me kind of sad. But we've talked about the Braves and how good their bullpen is, and it's great. But if, like you said, if Ashby sticks out there, if Williams is back there, if Hader's back there, Cousins has a lot of good stuff. This bullpen can quickly become one of those bullpens we talk about that just is lights out again and gets right up there with those higher end bullpens that we like to bring up on these shows.
For sure. Especially with, I mean, yeah, going from Corbin Burns, Woodruff, or Peralta right to that group. I mean, they're not going to allow a lot of runs this year.
No, they will not. And that makes them a team that's very dangerous. More on that maybe to come with our predictions later in the show. But we're going to take a brief break, take a deep breath. And when we get back, we will talk about the remaining bullpens in the National League, starting with the New York Metropolitans. And we're back, and we're going to dive right back into the National League bullpens, talk about another situation that's pretty set in stone. You know what you're going to get out of it. And it is the New York Mets. The Mets have their locked-in closer. We mentioned it on the show, and it is Edwin Diaz. Outside of Edwin Diaz, you know he's going to get there. You know he's in that tier right below with Aroldis Chapman, with Kenley Jansen that we sometimes target in our drafts. Who's that next man up in the saves holds? The Mets have been very active. We know they're going to be a good team this year. So in your saves holds league, who do you look up out for as a next man up, someone you try and target in your drafts, if there's anybody?
Yeah, they added Adam Ottavino, but I still think Trevor May is my favorite to be, you know, if something were to happen to Diaz or just for, yeah, saves holds, I would target May. Seth Lugo is still, he kind of struggled last year, but we've seen him be a dominant, you know, high leverage reliever in the past. And, you know, he was coming back from an injury last year. So maybe with, you know, a full year removed, he's able to bounce back and be the reliever we've seen, you know, in the past. And, you know, I've always, Miguel Castro's got good stuff. He's hasn't really put it all together, but like there's something there with him. So they have a pretty good bullpen, but, you know, looking at it right now, it's all righties. They lost Aaron Loop, and they brought in a couple non-roster invites for lefties, but that's a spot that could hurt them, you know, throughout the year.
Shout out to Ben Brown, our gifts manager and the director of the Nastiest Pitchers articles that I'm a part of. He always seems to find one for Miguel Castro, and I would never have thought, just when I first started here, that Miguel Castro was something one to look out for those articles, but there's always seems to be a pitch that you watch him and it's like, wow, and you put him in a bullpen with names like Ottavino and May and Diaz. You don't think of him with that, but he deserves to be in that conversation. You definitely, Trevor May is the guy I most like outside of Diaz in his pen. He is going to be the high leverage guy who gets the big outs, and therefore I like him the most. But, you know, the Ottavino signing is always interesting. We've both seen him as Yankees and Red Sox fans have some highs and some lows, but he's got the excitement. He's got the stuff you'd like to see. So we know how good the Mets are going to be. Keep an eye on this pen, because if you need your holds, and the saves are going to be locked in for Diaz, but in saves holds league, it's a bullpen that you're going to want to have some shares of.
Yeah, I mean, definitely May, Lugo, and probably Ottavino and Castro.
Target all your New York Mets. That's what we've learned today. Maybe the bullpen you don't want to target too much, and that is the Philadelphia Phillies. It's been a mess for the past however many years in Philadelphia. Every year seems to be the thing that people most want to address in the bullpen with the Phillies is getting a lockdown closer. And every year it seems like they don't bring in the guy we all thought. I thought this would be a great fit for Craig Kimbrel. Instead, they sign a Corey Knebel along with several other pieces. We kept waiting for the next shoe to drop. We kept waiting to be more. But Knebel seems to be locked right in. So do you buy that? Is Knebel someone you want to have because of there doesn't seem to be competition? Or what's your opinion on in this bullpen?
I think I forget who tweeted this or where I saw it, but it's either going to be like the best bullpen or the worst bullpen. There's really like no in between. It's like, I could see like Sir Anthony Dominguez is having a nice spring, and if he is healthy, you know, there's just a lot of volatility here between Knable, Alvarado, Familia, Brad Hand. It's like it's people who have had high levels of success and low levels of, you know, non-success in the very recent, you know, past. So I think Knable's going to be the closer. I don't think they're going to mess around with that too much as long as, you know, he's going well. But outside of that, who becomes the eighth and seventh, you know, seventh and eighth inning guys, I think that's up in the air. I hope Dominguez wins one of those roles, and, you know, maybe probably Alvarado is the second favorite.
Yeah, we saw Girardi had some very good things to say about Dominguez, which makes him someone to put on a watch list. I don't know if I'm going to take a shot on him on drafts yet, because likely Hand and Familia will have the upper hands as the free agents brought in for that purpose. Mm-hmm. But keep an eye on Dominguez. I think, like you said, when he's on, he's a pitcher that's very fun to watch, and that makes him intriguing. You mentioned that bullpen, it's going to be either the best or the worst. It seems like it's how everything in Philadelphia is. You go get a cheesesteak, and it's either the best cheesesteak you've had in your life or nothing. I can't go wrong with a Philly cheesesteak, but I'm saying that. I'm getting hungry, so I'm going to change that conversation quickly before I drive to Philly and try and get me a cheesesteak. As for the pen, I want to get some shares of Knable. I think he's pretty set in, and Philadelphia made moves in their lineup to make them a clear, more dangerous offense and makes them a better team, which makes for more save opportunities. And I want who's going to be number one there. You just wonder if it's a situation like we talked about with Romano or with Barlow in Texas.
Yeah.
Where he's the guy for a couple months and then they trade for somebody else. I wonder if the same thing happens in Philadelphia when they need to make a move, if they don't hesitate to do that. But
yeah,
you know, if you need a closer for the beginning of the season, Knable seems pretty set in. I don't see Jerry Familia or Brad Hand being threats for that spot. But in the saves hold league, you grab them late, and you know they're going to be the guys who help try and bridge the gap to Knable. Although you may have a few gray hairs after trying to rely on them for that situation.
Yeah, this whole bullpen has definitely given people fantasy managers nightmares in the past.
And I don't blame them. This whole situation of trying to find saves has given me nightmares and gray hairs throughout my time being a fantasy baseball player. And yet I keep coming back and running into the same issues year after year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll move over to the Pittsburgh Pirates bullpen. They're the next team on this list, and it's another situation that you kind of shrug your shoulders. We thought we had it kind of set with David Bednar, but maybe not. As it seems, Chris Stratton has entered the picture. It sounds like Derek Shelton's come out and said it's going to be a committee. So do you have a favorite of the two? If you needed to get a Pirate closer, which one are you getting? Is there anyone that's not in this picture that intrigues you, or what's your opinion out there in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it's kind of like Miami, where I want Miami to just let Bender, you know, give him the role, let him run with it. Pittsburgh, just give me David Bednar. The rotation looks not good. It's not a good rotation, not a good lineup. So just give us like David Bednar at least as the closer. Give us some things to like here. And Chris Stratton doesn't, you know, we've seen it before. It's nothing really. There's nothing really doing there. He signed Heath Hembree. He showed some strikeout ability last year, but Bednar is really the only guy I'm looking at in saves and or saves hold leagues here.
Yeah, Chris Stratton, we've seen him throughout the years try to bounce between starter and reliever. He's nothing to be excited about. Bednar is definitely who I'd be more interested in, but I'll echo what I've said for some other teams. It's the Pirates. Same thing I said with the Reds. You try and rely on them for saves, and we don't know who it's going to be. No, thank you. I'm moving on. I'm not dealing with a committee for a team that may not even win 65 games this year. So I'm sorry. If you have a set one guy, then maybe I'll also change my opinion. But as of right now, it's a committee that I don't want to touch. I'm going to take a chance. I'll even take a shot on one of the Rays guys and hope I get it right. Then a two-person committee in Pittsburgh that I just don't know what to do. Now, here's a committee that I do want to try and take a chance on because you get it right and you're going to get a good amount of saves, and it's San Diego. The question is, though, who the heck is this? You go on Roster Resource, and it was a meme going around on Twitter that there were six or seven guys with the closer tag next to them because even Roster Resource has no idea what to do with this Padre bullpen. So I turn to you, Rick, because you may be the only one who does know this. You may help a bunch of us out as fantasy managers. What is going on in San Diego? Who's your favorite? Do you have a favorite even?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think I can help out anyone really here because, yeah, it's anyone's guess as to who, if there is going to be someone who's going to get, you know, I'd be surprised if someone gets 20 saves here. I could be wrong, but it looks like it's committee bound. And, you know, that being said, when teams do start off with a committee approach, they're typically, not all the time, but typically someone like, you know, kind of runs away with the job. So who that's going to be, I'm not sure, but I think my two favorites are Lamet, obviously. I mean, we've seen this stuff play when he was a dominant starter just, you know, a couple of years ago. So if he is a full-time reliever, it definitely intrigues me, you know. And then, you know, Robert Suarez coming over from Japan. From what I've seen, he's got, you know, pretty electric stuff and definitely fits, you know, profiles as a high-leverage, late-inning guy. So that could be, he might be the dark horse there. You know, Emilio Pagan's done it before, but he was really not that great last year. You know, Pierce Johnson was pretty good, but I feel like he's more of a middle reliever, you know, fireman, you know, earlier leverage, high leverage guy. But yeah, it's just literally throwing darts here to find out who's going to close out games.
Yeah, and I like darts. I like playing darts when I go to a bar and having a few beers. I'm not sure how often I want to do that for fantasy. Now, I will say that, like you, Suarez and Lamet are my two favorites. You know the stuff for Lamet, how polarizing can be, but his stuff may play in the back end of the bullpen, so if they go that route, you may find a gem back there. But it's the same thing we've said last week. Saves and holds, you take a shot on any of these because they're going to be either getting saves or they're going to be a high leverage reliever who helped get you holds. But in a saves league, you may try and find your favorite. Take that late inning shot because nobody in fantasy knows who's going to get these jobs. So they're all going pretty late in drafts where you grab one and take the chance and hope the other one's available on the waiver wire. So
yeah,
we know the Padres are going to be good, and that makes it intriguing to take a chance on. You just have to throw a dart and hope you're right. But if you're looking for who we think it's going to be, Suarez or Lamet are two favorites, which means it's more than likely going to be Pagan or Johnson. So do with that what you will.
I wonder if, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but I feel like Chris Paddock, I feel like there could be something there with him if they commit to him being, and I know he's still like fighting with Nick Martinez for the fifth starter job, but I feel like Paddock, you know, good, you know, fastball changeup combo, like, you know, a Padres best closer in the history of their franchise, you know, Trevor Hoffman fastball changeup combo. I feel like Paddock seems to have that kind of, you know, that intensity, that kind of, you know, mental mentality that a lot of closers have. I wonder if he could, you know, kind of sneak into that role maybe at some point.
That would make a lot of sense, and that's a name that hasn't been brought out there. It would make for a much more confusing situation if he gets thrown into the mix, but I'd like it. I still believe there's something in there for Paddock that makes him fantasy relevant, and that may be just shifting to the bullpen, but, you know, like I said, the mindset's there and the attitude's there.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I hope they can do that to make the shares I have of Chris Paddock in either Dynasty or Redraft relevant, but we'll see. But like we said, proceed with caution when drafting San Diego Padre relievers. And it may be said to be the same thing when drafting a San Francisco Giant reliever. Although Gabe Kapler may have cleared that up for us. So, Rick, give us the update. Where does the thing stand out in San Francisco? Who seems to be the favorite to get saves out there as of now?
Yeah, so I guess, you know, Gabe Kapler went on a local radio show and said that Jake McGee is the would be his opening day closer as of now, which definitely, you know, shocked a lot of people. And you can see that, you know, by ADP standards, I mean, everyone was kind of in on Camilo Duvall. So McGee being named the closer is, you know, a bit of a curveball. So how much I believe Gabe Kapler, who's, you know, kind of messed around with his bullpen, and he's not really the most trustworthy bullpen, you know, manager out there. So I don't know. I guess this makes McGee definitely a good late round, you know, target, or if you've already drafted, worth an ad, the speculative ad on, you know, waivers. But it definitely hurts all those who have taken shots on Duvall pretty early in drafts this year.
Yeah, it's definitely news we did not want to hear. It's just that's going to end up being another sort of committee, but it's nice at least that we seem to have a favorite for those committee compared to the Padres, who there's no status on who the favorite is there. Like you said, you take a late round shot with McGee, hope right. It definitely drops Duvall in terms of where he's being drafted. He's kind of in that middle range with a Trinan, with a Gallegos, those sort of names where, you know, I think that drops him below those for sure for me. Yeah. And puts him kind of with Melanson in my mind, that if you get it right, his stuff plays and definitely is worth it. But now that McGee is more in the mix than I really had thought going into the season, it's a tough situation. But definitely get McGee. Same thing we kept saying. If you're in a saves holds, don't worry about the snooze. Keep drafting Camilo Duvall, just maybe a little bit later than you have been drafting, but definitely get him because he's going to be in those situations. And then Tyler Rogers, his name in saves holds, I'm just going to briefly mention. You love watching him. You love watching that sidewinding delivery. So if you can get him, get him. He's going to be pitching in high leverage situations to get the ball to either of those two guys that we mentioned, but he's likely third in the pecking order in terms of getting saves.
Yeah, the great thing about Rogers is he's so, like, he can pitch three days in a row. Then they just throw him out there and use him, you know, more often than any other reliever. So yeah, he's gonna get more chances than, you know, most names out there.
So the next team on the list has a closer that's been pretty polarizing around the fantasy industry this year, and that's Giovanni Gallegos. Some people consider him a very safe option. Others think that St. Louis is going to enter the same conversation as committee. So we'll just jump right into this. Where do you come out on this? Is Gallegos a safe bet to get saves in St. Louis, or are there other names that are going to jump in and make him not as safe as where as it seems to be as of right now?
I have Gallegos being pretty safe, not if not like locked in to a closer role, especially with Alex Reyes missing time. You know, the only other names here is, like, obviously Jordan Hicks' name stands out, but they've been, you know, wanting to build him up, you know, potentially put him into a starter role. And yeah, I just don't see them going from that to, like, you know, you're back to giving him his, you know, his closer job back. So I think this is Gallegos' role, and there's not a lot of competition, and given how he's pitched the last couple of years, I expect him to, you know, remain in the role for the whole year.
There shouldn't be competition. Yeah. And I don't fully believe there's competition. You mentioned Hicks, and I would say Alex Reyes, when he comes back from his injury, he may be in that conversation just because of what he did last season in that role. But Gallegos is clearly the best reliever in that pen. I can understand the concern with it because, you know, Oliver Marmol has kind of said, oh, we're not going to have a capital C closer. We're going to be mixing in guys. But, you know, like you said, is Hicks really a threat as of right now when he's just coming back from his injury? Is Genesis Cabrera or Ryan Helsley very much a threat to Gallegos, who's just a lights out reliever? He's got really good stuff. I think you have a pretty safe bet. I would put him right about my top 10 relievers. He's one of the last closers that I'm very comfortable with as my number one closer in terms of drafts. I can understand a concern, but it doesn't faze me. I would agree with you that he's a pretty safe bet, but because of his conversation in Saves Holds League, there are some interesting names. I'll take a flyer on Jordan Hicks late in that sort of league because he's going to be right there, and he probably will work his way back up into the high leverage situations in St. Louis. I'll take a chance if you can stash on the IL with Alex Reyes, but they won't eat into saves. They may get a save here and there, but they're not going to affect Gallegos as a good value in draft day.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And the final National League team, in fact, is the Washington Nationals, and they... Well, we're not ending on a good note, Rick. I'm just going to say that. We're really not ending on a note that I'm very happy talking about. It's a similar situation to kind of how I talked about with Oakland last week. I don't really want to talk about this, but we have to. Is there a favorite in Washington? What do we do out there?
I am staying away from Kyle Finnegan, and I know in TGFBI, I took a shot on Tanner Rainey. I can't quit Tanner Rainey, apparently. He showed us some glimpses of his 2020 form late last year in September. He even took over the closer role for a little bit there at the end. And I just really am hoping that, you know, he can put together a good year. He should be healthy. Tanner Rainey is really the only one that interests me here.
I'm just going to tell you, quit on Tanner Rainey. If I'm drafting a national reliever, I'm more interested in Tanner Rainey. Finnegan doesn't have the strikeout stuff that entices you as a fantasy manager when looking for saves. He was a starter turned reliever. He said Rainey was in that role towards the end of last year. It's just a more enticing name, but it's a bullpen that you've kind of said, like you mentioned, I'm not taking advantage of. It's similar to what I said with Cincinnati in Pittsburgh. I don't want a committee on a team that I think is going to be pretty bad. And, you know, you take a chance on it and hope, but be willing to pivot. And it's just, I'm not all that interested, even in Tanner Rainey, who I would agree seems to be the better fit in Washington. But, you know, I think it's going to be a committee that's just going to annoy us all season.
Yeah. Rainey's got at least some sort of upside. And I think, you know, Sean Doolittle's back. Maybe there's some magic there. He can, you know, he's closed out a lot of games for them in the past. So I wouldn't hate seeing Doolittle. You know, he did see a little bit of a velocity uptick last year. Crazier things have happened, but I wouldn't hold your breath.
Yeah, you can definitely say it again, that crazier things have happened than Sean Doolittle getting saves. But that wraps up for the National League relievers. Like I said, there's a lot more committees out there. It's not as many locked in names, but hopefully we were able to give you the names to keep an eye on. As always, keep an eye out for the news. We'll be updating you weekly with that. But hopefully this helps you get to the draft season, knowing where bullpens stand in both leagues. And, you know, like we always say, hit us up on Twitter. Ask any questions, come into PL Plus, join in Discord, and we're there to answer any questions. But just like we did last week, we're going to wrap up with our predictions for the National League. We want to go through the divisions, predict who we think is to make the playoffs, and we'll end this show with a World Series prediction because we didn't get to it last week. So we're going to, now we'll have all six divisions picked with wildcard teams. I want to get our division, our World Series predictions out there on paper and let you guys critique us in the end because we're going to be very far off. Well, we'll start off like we did with the net last week with the East and the National League East. It's more than likely a 2 or 3 horse race, but we'll start with you, Rick. Who is your National League East winner?
I mean, it's the Braves. The Phillies are going to contend too, but I still think it's the Braves and the Mets. And I think the Braves win it again, win the NL East with, you know, that bullpen, the lineup. It's just they're going to dominate the later innings of games, and, you know, love to see that.
I'm going to say the New York Mets. I think you go into a season with DeGrom and Scherzer as your 1-2. It's hard for me to stay away from that. The Braves are going to be fine. They're going to be battling all season. Those matchups are going to be must-watch TV, and I can't wait to see it. But I'm going to go for a little different. We had the same division winners last week, so let's go a little different. I'm going to put the New York Mets in first place, and that kind of hurts my soul as a Yankee fan to have to say that.
Yeah, it just picking the Mets, just, I don't know, it feels weird. Yeah.
It's the Mets, and they can always screw this up. And sorry to all your Mets fans listening. I know there are plenty. Schwebzy, if you're listening, I'm sorry. But I'm picking them to win, so you can't hate me that much. Wow. We'll move over to the National League Central, which may be a bit more clear, but you never know. Who is your National League Central winner?
Yeah, I'll go with the Brewers here. Pitching depth plus, I'm hoping and feeling a bit of a Christian Yelich, you know, renaissance year. I think he's not done. He's got something left to prove. And I like the other couple of additions that they've made, you know, McCutcheon, you know, Renfro. It's definitely a better lineup than what they had last year.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. I'll put the Brewers up top. You know, the Cardinals, I'm not sure what their pitching depth is. They're already dealing with injury with Jack Flaherty, and that concerns me. The Cubs have made some acquisitions which intrigue me, maybe them as a wild card team potentially, but I don't think they're ready to put them up there yet. So I'll keep Milwaukee in first place, and I'm fully in on a Christian Yelich bounce back. I would love to see that. So hopefully that comes true. And we'll wrap it up with the National League West. It's more than likely the same two teams battling it out. And I mentioned the Los Angeles Dodgers more than likely having the best record. So I think you know where I stand on putting the Dodgers in first. But do you side differently? They weren't in first place last year.
Yeah, I don't think San Francisco repeats what they did last year. Their rotation's good. Bullpen's pretty good. Lineup, you know, they platoon, you know, all throughout and make it work. But this Dodgers lineup's, you know, something you've never really seen before, how good that could be. And you know, they still have good starting pitching, still even losing Jansen, the bullpen's still, you know, pretty good. So yeah, it's the Dodgers division to lose here.
Yeah, that should be those matchups. We talk about the Braves and Mets being must watch TV. Dodgers Giants is going to be absolute must watch TV and another one that I can't wait to see. But we'll go to our final part of that with the wild card predictions. Who are your three National League wild card teams this year?
Yeah, I think the Mets are going to get in. I think they're going to be playing a game in October, a couple games probably. But outside of that, let's see. I think someone comes out of the NL West, between the Padres and Giants. Tatis injury hurts. But I still think the Padres rotation can, you know, be really, really good and keep them, you know, keep their playoff hopes alive until they get, you know, reinforcements back in Tatis and Pomeranz. So I'll go Padres. And then the third one, I'm going to go with the Phillies. I think they can, you know, best case scenario, if, you know, that bullpen is good and not bad, like they might actually have a legitimate chance to win that division. So I'll take three teams out of the NL East or NL West. NL East. Yeah,
it's all right. East and West, that's tough to remember. I thought you said West.
I was torn. Yeah.
I'm going to say the same two teams to start off. I think the Braves get in since I had the Mets winning the division. It's hard to not pick them to go to the playoffs. Same thing with the San Francisco Giants. I think that they're safe to go into the playoffs. They acquired a lot of good pitching, and they had that magic last year. I'm not going to fade away from it. I think that they battle it close with the Dodgers. And then third, it's going to be close. I like the Phillies call, but I'm going to go with you. I think the Padres hit a little late season magic with the addition of Bob Melvin as manager. When Tatis comes back and Pomeranz come back, it gives them a boost. I like what they did getting Luke Voit. And the starting pitching, I do for bounce back. I like Darvish and Snell this year bouncing back. Musgrove's very good. And they can figure out the late part. Even if it goes out and getting a consistent closer, I think the Padres will get themselves in and play some October baseball. And the Phillies, maybe their defense is the one that hurts them in the end.
Yeah, the Padres are always, they're aggressive. They'll spend. They'll go get Kimbrel at the deadline if they need to or something like that. So, yeah.
It's going to make for an exciting division for sure, having three teams come out of it. And, you know, if you didn't hear your team mentioned for these, don't hate us because we're more than likely to be wrong because that's how all these predictions always go. But we'll make some fans even more angry right now as we put on the record our World Series predictions. Rick, we're going to start with you so you give me more time to think. What's your set it and forget a World Series prediction for this year?
I'll go with a fun one. I'm going to go with the Brewers beating the Blue Jays.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Just two teams that haven't, I think they're due for a bit of a playoff run here. They've been building up something. I'd love to see, a little bit of a different, late October matchup.
I'd love to see it too. That would be great. I'm going to go a little bit more boring because I want to be right. So Dodgers are winning. I think you'd be hard pressed to pick anything else. It's just with all they've done, it's hard to go against them, but there'll be a lot of teams that'll bat them close. I like what the Braves are doing. I like what the Mets are doing clearly. Giants will play close. Brewers, I really like and think they could be a sneaky team this year. But I'm going to put the Dodgers in. And I have them beating the Chicago White Sox. I think the White Sox pitching and the additions to the bullpen make them a very dangerous threat. We know how good their lineup is. Last year was a little short in their first appearance with the Astros, but I think a lot of teams have gotten a little bit weaker to make the White Sox this year their chance to pounce. So I like what they've done to improve this year. I like the lineup, so I think they come out of the American League, but come up short against one of the best teams we may see of all time with this Los Angeles Dodgers team.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I was about to pick the White Sox too. The bullpen, front end of their rotation, deep lineup. Yeah, they're gonna be tough to beat.
And I reserve the right to change that opinion in about a month when I see things differently, and then every month from then on in. That's what I can do as host.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can do it as co-host too. Don't think that I'm the only one who can do it. Just saying. But that's going to wrap it up for this edition of In the Pen. Rick, where can the fight find you on Twitter? Because, their drafts are coming up. The listeners need to know where your opinions on some of these relievers even further. And you have your reliever ranks app out. So where can they find you on Twitter to look at this?
Yeah. I am Rick Graham at Twitter, on Twitter.
If you're ever wondering who this lovely voice beside me is, it's Rick Graham. So you can find me on Twitter at Callen_Elsliger. Just look for it in the show description. It's better than me trying to spell it out for you. And you can find the show itself at In the Pen Pod. You can find our latest updates. We're going to be doing this every week, so you might as well give us a follow. And as always, feel free to find us in the Pitcherless Discord. Give us a review on any of your podcast platforms or the Pitcherless stream. We'd love to see where we can get better. So that'll do it for this episode of In the Pen. We'll be back next week as we dive even further into relievers as we get ever closer to opening day. But thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.